Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's a history book, and I know it's not conference approved. I believe it says, "Behold, I make all things new." Okay. Bill said that when he got out of town's hospital and was sober. Nothing's changed, but everything's different. So, yeah, I get it, and that's what we're talking about as far as that change. So, like I said, obviously we start having trouble if we don't start doing that, and we continue to do this with our relations with God. Here's one of the biggest mistakes. We took the 12 steps and put them on the wall, and we talked about it. If you take the steps off the wall, you get off the wall results. And here's how it would be. It says this. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, isn't that special? That would leave me to believe, all right, that obviously I would take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. That would be the intent. But that's not even close to the intent. Somewhere the idea, we got that this step was done at night, that's step 11. And by the way, most of us don't get in trouble in bed anymore, except you youngins might. But anyhow, we need a rock and a round step when you're old like me. So that's, well, I'll speak for myself, right? Anyhow, step 10 is walking around. That's what we do during the day. Step 10 is a lot more than just promptly admitting we were wrong. You might want to write this down. What is step 10? It's living page 63 to 84. 63 to 84, that's what step 10 is through every day. In other words, the rest of our lives. Let's see what he says about that on page 84 and 85. It says, this thought. What thought? He just got done laying down those other 12 promises that we talk about so much. Brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue, number one, to take personal inventory and continue to say we're sorry. No, to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We have vigorously commenced this way of living, not talking, not theorizing, not reading, this way of living, design of life, as we've cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. We've had a spiritual awakening. That's why we just got done having those 12 promises. You are a different person if you receive all those promises up to this point in time. Okay, now, here's where it is. It's not to maintain. Our next function is to grow, not stay the same, in understanding and effectiveness. Stop right there. Understanding and effectiveness of what? You've opened up Pandora's box. This book, Alcoholics Anonymous, to be a better spouse, to be a better son, to be a better employee, understanding of effectiveness, you fill in the blank. We ain't got enough time. Understanding of an effectiveness of this thing called life. There's no end to what we're going to grow in. And I guarantee you, if you do this, remember what we said, if we're doing pages 63 to 84, you are going to grow in all areas of life. Not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few. All areas of life, because you cannot do this and stay the same. Absolutely impossible. So he's going to go on to say, this is not an overnight matter. And here's what it is. It should continue for a lifetime. Okay? So, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. We know we did that in step 4. Holy, you mean I got to do step 4 every day? Yeah. But you're not walking around with your pencil and paper. By now, you've got step 4. You've got it in your head. You've got this, yourself, what the problem is. And you've got the inventory up in your head. You've got the 5 columns. Resentments, fear, guilt, shame, remorse, harm done to other. This is in my head, not the patch or the label or whatever. It's like this. I've got this in my head. That's how I can continue. Unless you have the luxury of being able to sit down wherever you're at and at the grocery store or driving the car, careful, you'll probably crash if you do that. But anyhow, we continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Yeah, that's what we did in the 4th step. I'll be darned, okay? Then it says, when these crop up, by the way, he didn't say if, when. He knows it's going to happen. Not if, when. That's kind of nice. I know that it's going to happen. Okay. Let me see if we can get this off. When these crop up, we ask. Uh-oh. 10th step prayer one. Whenever you ask, you're praying to God. We ask God at once to remove them. Not reduce them. Not to put up with them. Not to make it okay to remove them. Listen to the perfect order that he did that. We ask God at once. He doesn't say at once we ask God. Go home and pray on that. And your answer will come why that's the perfect order. We ask God at once. Okay? So then I'll be darned. That would be step 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately. And make, obviously that would be step 5. If we can. And make amends. Step 8 and 9. Quickly if we harm someone. So you can see step 10, walk around, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. You cannot do those daily and stay the same. You just can't. You're going to continue to grow. What it said, grow in an understanding of effectiveness. This is one of the greatest steps because wait till you see what happens with these. The 12 promises, what you get back. It's absolutely fascinating. So it goes on to say, then we resolutely, this is after we're doing this, which means fix, firm, or determine, turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Oh, that's right. That's the answer. Out of self into God. You call that spirituality. We've established that again. So once again, okay, that's the answer. Now, I love this one. Love and tolerance of others is our code. That's a fancy, nice way of thing we throw around in AA, isn't it? Love and tolerance is our code. I think that's important because he mentions love in this book 20 times. He talks about tolerance 10 times. I suppose that's a pretty important concept. We talked about tolerance is actively embracing the differences. It's not to put up with somebody. It's not to have that attitude. Actively embracing the differences. Love and tolerance is our code. Okay. Now, I love this one too. I dare you to do these daily and stay the same. You will continue to grow. If you do this, steps 4 and 5 daily, you're going to learn more about yourself. If you do steps in 6 and 7 daily, the defects that we're talking about become less. If you do 8 and 9 quickly daily, you'll keep getting better and better with people, with yourself, and Almighty God. You cannot do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 during the day, as it's just talked about, and stay the same. It's actually impossible. I defy anybody in this room to do it as it is and stay the same. You can't, no matter how bad you want to. You will continue to grow in those 3 dimensions of life, and you will move into that dimension that we talked about, the 4th dimension. And here's why it's so important. Because when you're in the 4th dimension, you will be relatively free of anger, worry, fear, depression. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about recovery. We're not talking about sobriety. We're talking about recovery. 2 different things. Like I said, can't explain it. Only can describe it. Like I said, in the middle of a miracle, living a dream, utopia, heaven on earth, there's a lot of things. Just like step 6 and 7, if you take these steps, by the way, you don't work them. These are the steps we took, not work, okay? Just step 10, and you accept this as part of your life. Here's the hook with it. 6 and 7 and 10 are the real changing steps, but it comes with a price. If you accept it, from now on, you are responsible for what you think, what you feel, what you say, and what you do. I no longer have the luxury of being a victim or blaming people if I'm doing the deal. If I don't, then I can stay sick and become a victim and do all the things. We now have the ability, with God's help, to get through situations as they come up. I'll speak for myself. If I'm screwed up today, and it happens, it's because I want to make that conscious or subconscious decision. In other words, sometimes I like to be angry. I like to be pissed off. You know why? Because I can romp, stomp, and it gives me a false sense of being a big shot. I can run roughshod over people. Yeah. then sometimes I like to be afraid. Why? Because I can rationalize what I'm doing or justify what I'm not doing. I'm using them to stay sick, believe it or not. So like I said, when I do that, guess what? Don't enjoy it as much as I used to, right? Yeah, okay. And here's what I say to myself. And I'm allowed to say this. I say, all right, dumbass, me. I talk to myself like that. You're doing it again. What am I doing again? I'm blaming her, talking about my wife. I'm blaming the people I work with. I'm blaming the IRS. I'm blaming the neighbors. I'm blaming everything, all that. I'm blaming them again. Guess what? I can't if I'm doing this. If I got this in here, which hopefully we do, that won't happen anymore. Because like I said, I'll be able to find out who I'm angry at, the cause, what part of self, what did I do, and where I've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. I won't be the way I was. So what I'm saying is if I'm not screwed up today, it's because I choose to be that way. Can't blame anybody else. My bad. All the time, okay? This is one of the most valuable tools we have to continue our growth with relationship God, with ourselves, obviously, and our fellow man. Look at what happens when we live this step, what are called the 12 promises or checklist. Hopefully these will come in your life. And here they are. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Stop right there. That means I'm not fighting you. I'm not fighting me. I'm not fighting God. I'm not fighting them. I'm not fighting anything. Oh, my God, talking about a promise, that's one of the greatest of the 152 in this book. If I haven't received it, then guess what? I need to look at that, okay? Now listen to what he says. For this time, sanity will have returned. My God, remember? Thanks, I needed that. In step two, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Guess what? Steps 2 through 10, guess what? Sanity has returned. Talking about a personality change, talking about power, sanity has returned. Okay? Now it goes on. We will have seldom be interested in liquor if tempted. We will coil as a hot flame. We will react sanely and normally. And we'll find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. What is it? It's these steps, it's this program, it's this thing called recovery. Talking about power, and guess what? It gets better. We're not fighting it, neither avoiding temptation. We'll feel as we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Well, I've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. He talks about the problem in this book 24 times. He talks about problems 36 times. We've talked about it. It's a lot more than drinking. We're talking about alcoholism, okay? Problem and problems. In fact, on page 23, he really talks about the problem, but we don't have time to go back for it. You might want to footnote it. And it says, it does not exist for us. We're not, instead, it does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor afraid. That's how, that is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. If I'm going to be spiritually fit, I must do spiritual exercises. If I'm going to be physically fit, I must do physical exercises. If I'm going to be mentally fit, I must do mental exercises. And the only way for me to stay spiritually fit is to do spiritual exercises. And yes, they happen to be the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we talk about that other 10 in that other book, a lot of different things. But I must do spiritual exercises if I'm going to be spiritually fit. There is no other way. It doesn't happen. You can't go out and buy it. You can't read it. You can't. That's how it comes. I suppose that's why the chapter is called Into Action, okay? Now, remember on page 45, it said the purpose of this book was to find a power which would solve your problem. You don't solve it, the power does. So, here's what happened. Somewhere between page 45 and 85, the obsession to drink is gone. The problem has been removed. We just got done talking about page 85. Where did that happen? Hopefully we all remember when that happened. Talking about free, I'll tell you what, I remember when that happened to me and I realized I was free. I was free, okay? So, we talked about it earlier. Remember, God abhors, and nature abhors a vacuum. When I drink that water, something rushes inside of it and it's called air. It's the same thing. When that obsession is gone, it's out of my head, something's got to take its place. We established before, it's usually the opposite of that. So if the obsession for alcohol is removed, it's replaced with the opposite. Guess what I have an obsession for now? Recovery. Much to your surprise, you might be, yeah, taken back. In other words, I've got an obsession today as stronger than I had for alcohol. And that's big. That's huge. Okay? So now we can see an obsession can make you believe a lie about that somehow I'll be able to control and enjoy my drinking. An obsession can also help you believe the truth. And the truth is that I can stay sober through God's help, God's grace, and this book called The 12 Steps. So all obsessions, like I said, ain't bad, just like all fears isn't bad and resentments and so on and so forth that we talked about. I can see the truth. The truth is that I can't successfully drink. The truth is that God, A, and 12 steps keep me sober. Like I said, I'm obsessed with that today, that idea of staying sober as I was that I could ever drink. All I had to do was take these steps, live these steps, and I'll give it to you if you want to say the word work, but he doesn't say that in his book. Okay? All right. God removed that obsession for alcohol. That's the miracle. We just got done hearing that. And go ahead and we'll go ahead and report this to Lou. I'm not the miracle, I'm the recipient, even though he talks about that later on. If, I'll speak for myself, if I had to fight that obsession to drink, I always did before. I don't have to fight it anymore. Obviously, I don't need to take a drink, nor do I want to. Because everything that alcohol gave to me, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous has given to me, and then some. We talked about that last week. That's why we're back in the design of living that God has. Because of this program, I am comfortable, happy, peaceful, free, serene, at ease most of the time. But guess what? Along with that, I can still get that get up, exciting, and let's go tear it up feeling too. Guess what? And I don't have to drink to get any of those. Now that's power there. Because guess what? That's what God wanted to begin with. Remember, we go from restless, irritable, discontent. Stick with us, and we go to happy, joyous, and free. I found that all the way through the steps. That is the miracle of it. Let's see what he says for the rest of it now. It says, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. Not a spiritual program of action, this book, okay? And it says, and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. We can be a recovered alcoholic, but we're not cured of alcoholism. I'll always be an alcoholic till the day I die. I'll always have the allergy, but I'm recovered because I no longer have that mental obsession that condemns me to drink. And as long as I don't drink, the body ain't going to bother me. Therefore, I'm not cured of alcoholism, but I am recovered alcoholic. See, that's what, there's a big difference, okay? And listen to what it says now. And it says, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance, is what we're talking about, of our spiritual condition. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Life sentence called alcoholism. Just got done saying, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I'll be until I died. I got a death sentence called alcoholism. For me to drink is to die, many times in this book. That sounds like a pretty bad thing. Down at Lucasville, you ain't got a life sentence or a death sentence. A lot of guys are going to be get a stay of execution. We all got those death sentences and life sentences, but guess what? I've got a daily reprieve from the highest power, the ultimate governor, and that's God. But guess what? He says, boy, if you want your daily reprieve, you must stay spiritually fit. Oh, I get it. I do the possible, and he will do the impossible. We talked about that. So now he goes on to say, and there's more prayer, every day, not some days, not most days, not a lot of days, is a day when we must, not should, could, ought to, carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few. That's a big, tall order. I'm going to go ahead and read it without stopping. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. 10th step prayer. We got quotation marks on this. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. More prayer in the 10th step. I'll be darned. Remember we said there's a prayer with every step from the 3rd all the way to the 12th. That's what he says. These are thoughts which must, not should, could, ought to, go with us constantly. Not some of the time, not most of the time, not a lot of time, all the time. Remember what we're talking about? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then you do what he's doing in 10. You ain't going to stay the same. You will continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. He's not done with you yet, okay? And it says, we can exercise our willpower along this line all we want. It's the proper use of our will. I'll be damned. Guess what? I made a decision to turn my will, my life over to the care and direction of God as I understood him in 3. Guess what? He gave it back to me. Why? Because enough self-will has been removed to where my self-will is healthy now in the intended percentage that God wants. Free will. And guess what? I want to do God's will. So in this 10th step, not only do you get your sanity back, but you get your will back. My God, talking about being reborn. How great is that? That's how powerful this step is. You get your sanity and your will back. Okay, so now it goes on. Much has been already said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction, that's suggestion, from him, that's God, who has all knowledge and power. Not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few. If we have carefully, not half you measures, followed directions, not suggestions, we have begin to sense the flow of his spirit into us. We have, to some extent, we have become God consciousness. We have begun to develop that vital 6th sense. Now, how gifted was Bill? Talks about a 4th dimension, just blew people right out of the water, talking about a 6th sense. Non-12 steppers don't know what we're talking about a 4th dimension and a 6th sense. They just would be deer in the headlights. How powerful is that? Listen what it says, okay? And it says, we have begun to develop that 6th sense, but we must, not should, not could, not ought to, we must go further, and that means more action. So, here's an experience of mine, and I will go ahead, but I must talk about this. Be careful if you thought you got a lot on after step 9, those 12 promises, and then you got these 12 promises here. Don't need a smartphone. That's 24 out of the 152. Now, here's what I've seen happen. Be careful if you get these things. Life starts getting real good. In other words, before you know it, you might be getting back in the house. You might even be getting back in the bedroom. When you come home at night, the kids are talking to you. The dog quit biting you. You probably have a job, might have a car, might have a driver's license, might have a little bit of this in your back pocket, and all that stuff is all great. That's what's called recovery. I lost all that recovery. That's part of it. But here's what I've seen happen. All that all of a sudden becomes more important than God, more important than Alcoholics Anonymous, more important than the 12 steps. And all of a sudden, we get too busy. I got news for you. I bury them all the time. They got so busy with life, they planned their recovery around their life. And there's never time, even if it's laying on the couch. If I want to do what I want to do, I ain't got time for you. I ain't got time for AA. I ain't got time for any of that. It's all about me again. My experience has been, if I plan my life around my recovery, somehow God always gives the energy and the time to get all of it done. You need to be careful with that because I've seen it happen all the time. That's what he's talking about, resting on our laurels. Happens all the time. And here's my experience too on official survey. 1 to 5 years, all of a sudden you see a big gap after that. People turn up missing. do a little unofficial survey. I said, why don't you come back anymore? First group will say, well, I got everything I wanted from AA. I got her, I got him, I got it, I got that, I got all that, and whatever, and kids, and all, everything's all fine, hunky-dory. Group number one. Group number two, I didn't get nothing because they didn't put nothing into it. This AA don't work. No, okay. So they don't come back. And then there's a minority that get it, and they really get it, and they keep coming back. That's why look at a countdown when you're talking about sobriety and how the herd thins out. Absolutely fascinating, and that is why, unfortunately. Okay, now, obviously, these come important, and, you know, like I said, we can't stop here. We must continue on our spiritual growth. Now we're about step 11, and I'm going to go ahead and read a couple things on that. Step 11 for you people on here, this also is the 12 and 12, called Foundation for Life. It says, we discover that we receive guidance for our lives just to the just about to the extent we stop making demands upon God to give it to us on order and on our terms. You mean he ain't a short order cook? Okay, no, I guess not. I'm going to go ahead and say something, and it's not so much down this area. That's a triangle. And I know we mean well when we say, pray for these persons and let their burdens be lightened. You better watch what you're praying for. You might be putting him or her in a wheelchair. You might be putting him or her in the grave. You might be putting him or her in the penitentiary. Their burdens will be lightened, but not how you want it. It says right here to pray for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Because when I'm saying I want him to be cured, I want her to get, guess what? I'm playing God again. It said, first of all, we had to quit playing God. Why? Because it didn't work. Listen to what it says. In praying, we ask simply that throughout the day, God places us in the best understanding of his will for us for that day, and that we be given the grace by which we may carry it out. And here's where we are with step 11. It says there's a direct linkage among self-examination, the inventory steps, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit, but when these are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation through life. He goes on to say, atmosphere of grace, and this also comes out of the same book. And he goes as this. There are those of us who have come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we would refuse air, food, or sunshine. And for the same reason, when we refuse air, light, or food, the body suffers. When we turn away from meditation and prayer, we likewise deprive our minds and our emotions and our intention, our intuitions of the vital needed support. As the body can fail its purpose for the lack of nourishment, so can the soul. We all need the light of God's reality and the nourishment of his strength and the atmosphere of his grace. To an amazing extent, the facts of AA life confirm this ageless truth. Personal experiences painfully. If you don't have time for prayer and meditation in the morning, you better leave time for pain and misery during the day because it's coming. It's coming. It's a coming. That's a promise that I guarantee. It ain't in the book, but I'm telling you, it's coming. And the two most important things I found about prayer. Number one, to start. And number two, don't stop. And we all dry out in times. I've been in times where it's been lip service. I'm down, a fraud for God. I'm on my knees. I got one foot in the starting block. And I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. And it's just lip service to old daddy. That's who I call God. I'm up there. He's laughing. But you know what? I still go through it. It's called the discipline that we're going to be talking about. And God, I go through some dry times. I've been through some dry times where I can hardly say anything. Anything. And that ain't bad. I'm being realistic. For what you want to do, for what it's worth, if you read about any of the saints, they all will talk about being in the dry time. I've been out in the desert. I'm talking about this side of the bottle, not over there. I've been out in the desert, and it's painful. But you know what? He's patient, and he'll wait, and he'll come back, and here's how he's going to develop. And what's so cool about this, in these next 2.5 pages, he gives us directions where we can all find our own personal life of prayer and meditation. Mine is different than Glenn's. Glenn's is different than, you keep going down, that everybody's different. It's all good. Just like our own conception of God. Nobody's conception is the same. Therefore, neither would the prayer and meditation. He gives us directions on how to do it. But like I said earlier, it opens up Pandora's box and you can go with it on your own thing. It's an absolutely fascinating thing. So, obviously, he talks about a sixth sense of direction. Everything that I know is on a conscious level. I've learned from the five senses. From see, smell, taste, hear, touch. Everything I know comes from that. And by the way, that's a dangerous thing to be because four of them out of the five come in my head. If you take everything I know, which ain't Jack, if you take everything you know, which ain't Jack, if you put it all together, it might be a pinhead of all the knowledge in all the world, okay, of the universe. If God has all knowledge and power, which I'm sure he does, my book tells me so, he just said it on page 85. If God dwells within me, which I'm sure he does, my book says so, on page 55. That stands to reason, within us, there's nobody different in here, we all have the knowledge and power that we will ever need to handle any situation that comes up in the future, provided one thing, providing that we learn to tap into that power. It's in every one of us. Ain't nobody in this room closer to God than anybody else. We're all equal. God's in every man, woman, and child. We establish that. All we need to do is tap into that power. And I've witnessed that being in Alcoholics Anonymous for the length of time. I've seen people go through just horrific things. You couldn't even write stories as that bad. Losing wives and mothers and sons and daughters back to back. And just unthinkable disasters, calamity of life. And I've witnessed them go through this with grace, with dignity, with sobriety, with recovery. I've witnessed it in my own eyes. So it's not just fancy thing, just lip service. It's the real deal. I've witnessed a lot of it. So, providing that we tap into that power, it is that unsuspected inner resource of strength. And how do you do it? It's been long known that you do that through prayer and meditation, long before AA's been around. Most of us have been bankrupt in those areas of prayer and meditation. It seems impossible that we might be able to develop a life of prayer and meditation. The next 2.5 pages, 86 to 88, gives us a series of directions. If we follow them, we could develop our own life of prayer and meditation. Millions of alcoholics, over 2 million, have learned how to pray and meditate through this process. And it breaks down the day, an alcoholic as it may be. I want to ask him when I find out, Bill, why did you start this damn thing at nighttime? I don't know. Yeah, everything is backwards in the alcoholics. But let's see what he says on here. It says, step 11, suggest prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Okay, I get it. Shouldn't be shy. Better men than we are using it constantly. Not some of the time, not most of the time, not a lot of the time, constantly. It works. What is it? Prayer meditation. If, that qualifying word, if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we have some definite and valuable suggestions. Now, here's where the sheet that you got in here about the daily inventory. And we're going to go through this next paragraph, and I found this most helpful. Handed this out 1 year, and the guy came back a year later, and I'll be damned. He dated it, and he had 365 days of it. And do you know what the book talks about? I could hardly recognize him from the year before. So I know this deal is real. And he tells us how to do this. And much to my surprise, When we do this, listen to what he tells us to do and how we do it. It says, when we retire at night, we constructively review the day. Stop. He didn't say destructively, constructively. We're building something. Remember the spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. Okay? So we're building, not destroying. Okay? We review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, and afraid? Oh my God, I got to do another 4-step before I go to bed. Help a brother out. Yeah, that's what it says. Okay. All right. Do we owe an apology? Oh my God, another step 8 and 9 before I go to bed. I've been doing it all damn day. Now you're going to make me do it again. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Have we kept something ourselves which should have been discussed with someone at once? Admitted to God, to myself, another. Oh my God, I got to do. Oh, I get it. So when I go to bed, guess what? I've been doing it all day and I'm doing it again. 4, 5. We'll see where we'll do 6 and 7 here in a little bit. 8 and 9 when we go to bed. Okay? This is what it says. Okay? Were we kind and loving towards all? Oh, hell no. What could we have done better? What could we have done better? Everything. Okay? Now, hey, I'm taking my own inventory here. Okay? Were we thinking ourselves most of the time? Well, who else is there to think about? All right, come on. Or were we thinking what we could do for others, what we could pack in the stream of life? Here's a warning here. But we must, not should, not could, not ought to, be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, because that would make us feel bad about ourselves. No, come on, y'all, because look what it would do. It would take us away from our fellow man and God. That's what it's been all about. Remember, in step 9, it says our real purpose is to fit ourselves to maximum service to God and those people about us. It's about our fellow man and God. Okay. After making our review and inventory, 11-step prayer, we ask prayer for God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures need to be taken. So you can see, obviously, we do steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 at bed. Here they are. Daily inventory, obviously where it says we retire at night, constructively review our day. Obviously, that is gotten from the big book. So what we have here on the left side is personalities of self-will, right side personalities of God's will. And by the way, the first 4 on the left side are from the big book, selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, frightening, inconsiderate. Oh, that's right, that's column 5 of the inventory. I'll be damned. And by the way, all these character defects are conference approved. What I mean by that is they are. They're all conference approved because on the left side, the pride, greed, lustful, anger, envy, they all come out of here. These character defects are all conference approved. I hate when that happens, don't you? So anyhow, I love it. Remember these defects, shortcomings, character flaws, mistakes. Sins, what we talked about, the definition of the word sin, miss the mark, off the target, fall short. Okay, obviously, personalities of God will. Absolutely fascinating. Do yourself a favor and do this. You will be absolutely amazed. It will change from day to day, if you're honest. You won't find yourself on either side, and it will change. However, you will see a pattern. A pattern which needs to be addressed with you and your Creator. Absolutely fascinating. You cannot do step 10 through the book, like it said, nor can you do this part of step 11 at night and stay the same. You are going to change. I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you're going to be in Alcoholics Anonymous, a member of, you are going to take inventory. Now, I've got 2 options. Do I do it daily in step 10? Do I do it daily at night in step 11? Or do I let it just sit and I get sicker and sicker and sicker and wait till I'm about drunk or so miserable that I got to try to dig out from the 4-step again? I ain't rolling the dice. I don't know about you guys because I ain't got a whole lot of time left. And the time left, I want to be happy, joyous, and free. I want to live. I don't want to die no more. I've had enough of that. So, like I said, once again, We repeat 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 at night. We can't do these things over and over and over and stay the way you are. You will continue to grow. Oh, that's right. We talked about continue in step 10, and we're improving. What? We're improving on step 10. I'll be darned. It's the 24-hour design of living, step 11. It's absolutely fascinating what he does to us. So now, the next thing is what we do on awakening. On awakening. That's not 2 hours later. That's not 4 hours. That's not six. On awakening. Anybody don't understand that? Okay, I get it. So, on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans the day, for the day. Before we begin, not after you go out and screw it up. It says before. See where I'm saying? Oh, on awakening and before. I get it. Okay. Okay. Before we begin, more prayer. We ask. We ask God to direct our thinking. Especially asking, more prayer, that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. If I didn't know better, I'd say I'd be doing that third step all over again before I walk out the door. Call it what you will. You just got done saying it. But that's what we're doing, okay? Let me see. If I'm doing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, shit. Now I got to do 3. Okay, I get it. Okay. All right, come on. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with the assurance for, after all, God gave us brains to use. Now, your spouse probably wouldn't agree with that, but that's what the book says. Okay. Now, our thought life will be placed on much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Okay. Absolutely fascinating. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. We ask God for inspiration, more prayer. God, please help me with inspiration. Intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. Why? Because we're no longer running on self. Relax, take it easy, okay? We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answer will come after. We've tried this for a while. Yeah. Love this next one. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes the working part of our mind. That's because free will and self-will now is God's will. I'm in the fourth dimension. I've developed that sixth sense. All the knowledge and all the power that God is in me is in me. And we're tapping into it. That's a lot of power there. Okay. It says, still being inexperienced and that just having made contact with God is not probable. We're going to be inspired all the times. We might pay for this presumption with all sorts of observed actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking, which is our will, will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. In other words, it's a design of living, obviously. Now, if you didn't know how to pray for, here it is. This is what it says. I didn't know how to pray other than, God, get me out of this damn mess. I'll never help you again. We know that. We know the drill. God, help me. God, grant me. And we've established, God, use me. In case we didn't know how to do it, it's easy to fall back in the trap. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer. Oh, my God, he's beating us up to step 11. Mm-hmm. Let we be shown all, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few, all through the day, what our next step is to be, and that we be given what we need to take care of such problems. That's one of the plural. That's alcoholism, a lot more than drinking. We ask, oh shit, more prayer, okay? Especially from what? Freedom from self-will. Freedom from this part of self. Remember the sheet? I told you we're never done with it. We ain't. Never, ever. Freedom from self-will, okay? Because that's the problem, okay? And it says, and are careful to make no requests for ourselves. How's God going to know what I want if I don't tell him? He don't give it what you want. He cares about what you need. He's going to give you what you need, not what you want. What you want probably will kill you or somebody else or make you so miserable. He cares what you need, and he's going to give you your needs, okay? And it says, we ask, prayer, ourselves, however, if others can be helped. We be careful. We never pray for our own selfish ends. Many of them have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. So, all we need is the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. That's what the triangle is. Well, you better be real careful with this one, painfully. That's what it's a triangle. All three sides are supposed to equal. Pray for the knowledge. Ask for the power. Get it. Now, I pray for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. He gives it to me. And guess what I do? I don't do it. Buddy, I'm here to tell you, when I pray for the knowledge of his will, he gives me the power to do it, and I say, screw you, and I do self-will. You think you were paying before. I paid a lot of times when I didn't know what God's will was, didn't ask for the power, but when I pray for it, and he gives me the power, and then I say, no, I'm going to do it anyhow my way, there is hell to pay. There's nothing free in this world. You don't always get what you pay for, but you always pay for what you get, or don't. So that's what I'm saying. Better be real careful with this one. And that's what's the triangle. Prayer, power. Now am I doing it or not? And I painfully, and still will, painfully pay that price. So, they told me, obviously, that's all I need to pray for. How will I know what I want? That's all we need to pray for. God will take care of the rest. He'll give us what we need. Now listen to this. Please take advantage of this. I call these suggestions on prayer. If circumstances warrant, ask our wives, our friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set of prayers, more prayer, which emphasize the principles, the 12 steps, which we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. And by the way, they don't have to be conference approved. Because guess what? When this was written, there was no conference. A lot of helpful books out there. You can let your conscience, your guide, do what you need to do with those or not. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. I've taken that to heart, and I will just, my experience on that. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been able to go back to my church of origin, my cradle religion, if you will. Now I am able to get and use what they have to offer. It's not a substitution for Alcoholics Anonymous, it's in addition to. Do yourself a favor with an open mind. Maybe you want to make association, and he tells us more than once, actually about four times in this book, to go ahead and do that. And it's been life-changing in my life. I'll just speak for myself. But that wasn't just a fancy paragraph in there to fill up some pages. It's a reality. So, now this is what the rest of the day. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. That's a tall order. We ask, more prayer, for the right thought or action. So in other words, when somebody cuts you off, don't do the automatic reflex. The one-finger peace sign, say, I love you, brother. Yeah. Is the tape on? It's still going. Yeah, the one-finger peace sign. I like that. Okay. When we pause when we're agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought or action. Personal experience still is. Usually the first thought to my mind is self-will. If I get paused when agitated or doubtful, what would God have and want me to do with all this thing? We constantly, not sometimes, not a lot of times, not most of the time, remind ourselves that we're no longer running the show. Oh, I think we decided that in step three. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, oh God, here we are, more prayer in step 11, thy will be done. Did you notice when we continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, what the opposites of that are? They were the four absolutes. When we're watching for selfishness, it's unselfish is the absolute. Dishonesty, the absolute is honesty. Resentment, the opposite of that is purity. And obviously fear, the opposite of that is love. So it goes on to say, we are then, only if I do that, much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily. I always used to be so tired. My wife said I was lazy, but I say I was tired. Now there's a difference. Come on, y'all. Tired, lazy, what the hell? Okay. Anyhow, I had to throw that in. Anyhow, it says, for we are not burning energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. If I had to say, this would be one of the best paragraphs, best sentence, listen to what it says, of the whole book. It works. It really does. That's this whole book, this whole program, especially step 11. By the way, there's nine steps or nine prayers in step 11. I suppose that's why it said sought to prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. So, he goes on to say, we alcoholics are undisciplined. Oh, really? Okay. So here it is. So we let God, not your sponsor, not your spouse, not your boss, not the laws of this country, not anything else. We let God discipline us. How? In the simple way we have just outlined. What did he get done outlining? The 24-hour design of living called Step 11. And I guarantee you and I promise you, if you take this step on a daily basis as it is, you will be disciplined. Now, most of us have children or something in there or something that we may be in charge with. It takes more love to discipline that child, that grandchild, whatever it is, than to let them run free like a wild animal. And I guarantee you, God will discipline you. And sometimes he spanks your ass. Yeah, okay, I said it. Yeah. I got the marks to prove it because I need an ass whooping. All right, right? Yeah. Took me out to the shed and gave it to me because I had a wayward child. They're less than they used to. Not as hard, not as long, as not as often, but I still need to go out to the woodshed now and then. Anyhow, and it says, but that is not all. There is action and more action. Here's one of the six times he talks about this. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Now, actually the rest of the book is devoted to step 12. Next week, working with others is the first part of step 12. Well, I can't let you guys out this early, but we're going to, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. When agitated or doubtful, we pause, right? Okay, so where were we? Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to help you work your program here. Okay, right, no. All right, so next week, the beginning. Step 12, like the other ones, is a multiple-part step. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics. That's chapter 7, working with others. And to practice these principles in all our affairs. Some of the best and most powerful AA is coming up after working with others. And I promise you and I guarantee you what's in the rest of the book will blow your head off. It does every year. As we go through it. So obviously a lot of people talk nice and Jim Danley about the first 164 pages, but that's 164 pages. It doesn't end with chapter 7, working with others. In fact, it begins there because that's where the rubber meets the road. The family afterwards, the chapter, the wives, the employers, and a vision for you. Please do yourself a favor and come back so we can fulfill this, what we did tonight. So we continue, so we can improve. And most importantly, he tells us how and where to practice step 12. I thank you for your night tonight. And how about if we close with the Lord's Prayer? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And also, we like to say this set-aside prayer, and that helps move things that might be blocking us to get some stuff from our head to our heart, or take it away, because we've established a lot of times we know enough about AA and alcoholism to be dangerous to ourselves, and what we think we know can be a liability and not an asset. In other words, if you start with all the answers and have no questions, you are done before you get started. And this can be specific about the books, steps, God, self, alcoholism, and you fill in the blank, and I know it's changed my life, and I'll speak from personal experience saying it every morning, and it goes as follows. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about my disease, everything I think I know about these steps, and everything I think I know especially about you, for an open mind and new experience with myself, with my disease, with these steps, and especially you. And also, we've taken a portion out of this book, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. I believe it's on page 15 when Bill's making an introductory explanation of that book. And he goes as follows, and we've taken it as a mission or a goal or a mantra or what we've been trying to establish from January till now, and it goes as follows. AA's 12 Steps, a group of principles, spiritual in nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession and drink, enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. And obviously we coined that as a recovered alcoholic, the real deal, emotional sobriety, spiritual sobriety, and or the 13 things he uses on the appendix to describe the word change as far as what God can and will do for us as the result of these steps. We like to read what Bill wrote that has a lot to do with where we're going with this. And Bill wrote this in a letter in 1959. Two things. And it says, gratitude should go forward. Gratitude should go forward rather than backwards. In other words, if you carry the message to the still suffering others, you will be making the best possible repayment for the help given to you. Our chief responsibility to the newcomer is an adequate presentation of the program. If he does nothing or argues, we do nothing but maintain our own sobriety. If he starts to move ahead, even a little, with an open mind, then we break our necks to help in every way we can. The wonderful energy the 12-step releases, by which it carries our message to the next suffering alcoholic and finally translates the 12 steps into action upon all our affairs, is the payoff, the magnificent reality of AA. So that's why we've been suffering from January till now, in case you didn't know. He also wrote this, too. A lot of times people say, I don't know what to do, and never say no to AA, and so on and so forth. And I say you'd better do a little bit of research this. He wrote this in 1959, Bill did. And it goes as this. Each of us in turn, that is, the member who gets the most out of the program, spends a very large amount of time on 12-step work in the early years. That was my case, and perhaps I should have should not have stayed sober with less work. However, sooner or later, most of us are presented with other obligations to family, friends, and country. As you will remember, the 12th step also refers to practicing these principles in all of our affairs. Therefore, I think your choice of whether to take a particular 12-step job is to be found in your own conscience. No one else can tell you for certain what you ought to do at a particular time. I just know that you are expected at some point to do more than carry the message of AA to other alcoholics. In AA, we aim not only for sobriety, we try again to become citizens of the world that we rejected and the world that once rejected us. This is the ultimate demonstration towards which our 12-step work is first, but not the final step. And he refers to that more than once in our textbook. So that brings us to where we're at tonight. And if we can kind of come up to a Reader's Digest or a synopsis of where we're at. Remember, as we closed last week with the 11th step, that we've developed that sixth sense of direction. We've obviously have been catapulted into the fourth dimension. We have been restored to sanity. He's given us our will back, and so now we're on step 12. So, obviously, step 12, and this is the first part of it, and so many people will think that we're done, but this isn't the end of step 12. It's the beginning, and the rest of the textbook in particular addresses what he was just talking about in that second half of that letter that he wrote. So what is step 12? Thank you for correcting me, by the way. I like to be corrected. Yeah, typo. Don't ever get old. Too late for a lot of you. Anyhow, it reads, having had a spiritual awakening as the result, that was supposed to be, and you notice under the, we result of these steps, comma, that is first part of it, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics, comma, and practice these principles in all our affairs, period. So obviously we will be in the first part of this. And you see these 86 and 29, and remind me if I don't fill that blank in what it is, but it's imperative for me to be aware of that. So once again, this is an amazing chapter, and what it is, it's all of our forewords. It's the prefix, it's the table of contents, it's the doctor's opinion, and the first six chapters wrapped into one. Absolute fascinating chapter when I realize where all this is coming from. So, obviously it says, the first part, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. By the way, that is one of the greatest promises, if not the greatest promise in that book. And that promise is, if I take these 11 steps, I will have a spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. My God, how powerful is that? We say that's powerful, powerful, powerful. Okay, now, what is this spiritual awakening, spiritual experience? I'm glad that you asked us that. Once again, if you weren't here, this appendix 2, where he breaks that down. And by the way, if you weren't here, you might want to write this down, how important this is. He tells us three times to go to this appendix. And obviously, I need to know what this is because I can't get the full meaning of it or do the deal. He says on page 25, 27, and 47 to go to that appendix 2. And remember, we established, obviously, the book wasn't complete until he added the appendix, and that's what it is because there was a blank spot in the book. And come back next year if you weren't here this year for the explanation of it. In other words, he uses the word change out of that 12 different times. Okay, I'll speak for myself. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I had no spiritual knowledge whatsoever. So as of now, as the result, I have awakened spiritually. I'll speak for myself. Here's an illustration how I've awakened spiritually since then. I know things better today. I can see things better today. I can feel things better today. I can do things better today. And I can understand things better today. What I'm saying is, obviously, with the sanity being returned, will, fourth dimension, sixth sense, obviously. I see what I see. I know what I know. I feel what I feel. I hear what I hear, okay? In other words, like Bill said when he came out of Towns Hospital last time, when he walked out on the street, nothing's changed, but everything is different. Okay, all of those things that I talked about, I couldn't use left on my own resources unaided. Therefore, I've had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Now, there are, Bill said this too, and I will steal this from him, there are as many different spiritual awakenings as there are people in AA. So everybody's in here is different. We all have a lot of common threads, but they all are different. Just like our stories, if you will, we all have the mental obsession, the spiritual malady, the physical allergy, but the circumstances are different. Therefore, spiritual awakening, spiritual experiences. Speaking for myself, since I've had that spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, what am I supposed to do with this thing? Well, I'm supposed to do the second part of the step. I'm supposed to carry this message to alcoholics. What is this message? Well, first of all, it isn't my message, because my message, I will get you sick and get you drunk and I will infect it and it won't be. It's this message. And what is this message? It's so simple, you already gave it to us. This message is this. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. In other words, this message is, if I take these 11 steps, I will have a spiritual awakening and I will recover from alcoholism. That's this message. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And we're getting to a lot of challenges in AA, because a lot of times we're not even carrying that message. We're carrying all kinds of other messages. Simple. If you take these 11 steps, you will have a spiritual awakening experience. You'll recover from alcoholism if you're a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety. So simple. We take this message to newcomers. It's real simple. We tell the newcomer, I used to be like you, and somebody helped me. I'd say that's what we're going to find out tonight. I was sick like you. I drank like you. I even got in trouble like you. I came to AA and found out that I was a sick person in body, mind, and soul. And then I tell them I got better through God in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. In other words, through this big book, we explain the problem, the solution, the plan of action as outlined in our text. Remember, that was all the way back in January. Remember, table of contents and everything. Everything from the cover page is going to come alive tonight. Everything. Okay. So step 12 is to have a spiritual awakening myself through these steps, then help another alcoholic to have the same solution to their alcoholic problem if they want to. But remember, I can't lead somebody where I've never been. And I'll go ahead and say this is my experience has been is when people are ready, I can say nothing wrong. And when they're not ready, I can say nothing right. And it's just been my experience. And if you haven't had the joy of it, whenever you get the newcomers and they say, I know, it's just like, oh, my God, yeah, I know so much that you're back in treatment for the sixth time. Or when we're explaining to them, they say, yeah, but, and then you can cut that short. Anything after but is bullshit, okay? I've gotten better. Instead of saying, yeah, but, I go, however, no, that's, you can, yeah, you got to watch. So anyhow, once again, there are as many kinds of spiritual awakenings as there are people in AA. The spiritual awakenings, once again, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Once again, page 25, 27, and 47. Crucial, got to have it, got to have it, appendix 2. Okay, so they all have things in common. And here are the things that we have common in our spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. We can feel, believe, and do things we could never do on our unaided strength and resources. In other words, we have been granted a new state of conscious and being. Remember in the narrative of the third step, he said we were reborn. Remember Silkworth said in the doctor's opinion, recreate our life. Remember, everything that we've been talking about is coming alive tonight. In other words, I feel things that I've never felt before. such as love, patience, tolerance, and compassion for my fellow man. And I got news for you, that was not in the hula hoop when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe things that I never believed before. And this is one of them. I believe God is kind and loving. I believe God is willing to help anyone when they're ready to give up on self. You know, the dirty four-letter word for the alcoholic. I used to believe, if there was a God, he was a God of justice. Now I believe God is a God of mercy and love. And here's my experience, too. And this is so reassuring to me. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Whew, thank God about that. Okay, now, come on, you fellow sinners. All right. So now that I've had the spiritual awakening experience, I can do things that I couldn't do before. One example, obviously, is to stay sober since July 10th of 87. Because of sobriety / recovery, big difference, I can do many, many, many things that I couldn't do before. Literally thousands of them, and obviously time won't permit. But what do I do with this? I carry this message, not my message, not a message, not some message, but this message, the message of the spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. This is the great news this book carries for those who suffer from alcoholism. By the way, you might want to write that down. He says that on page 17, the last paragraph. And on page 47, he says the same thing, great news. See what I'm saying? When I was saying that everything from the cover page goes through, it comes through this chapter. Okay, and obviously we have the message. Message of what? Oh, that's right, the depth and weight. Doctor's opinion, Roman numeral 16. That's the message, okay? Page 18, he talks about as the ex-problem drinker who's found this solution, who's properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic. This is all what we've been talking about and reading and doing comes alive tonight, okay? So we have knowledge, and then we have the sharing of our stories. We can help them. What do we help them? We help them to see their allergy. Oh, that's right, and their obsession, which is step one. I'll be damned, doctor's opinion and Bill's story. We can help them come to believe. Step two, obviously, if step one was the problem, that's chapters 2, 3, and 4, all right? We can help them make a decision, step three, and then steps 4 through 11. Take them through the rest of the steps. I'll be darned, that's this message. That's how we do it. Then they'll have a spiritual awakening, and then they'll carry this message too. Okay, that's what AA is about. Contrary to what you might think, we are not healers, can't be all things to all people, because we'll end up being nothing to nobody. We're not spiritual advisors, oh my God, we'll stay away from that. Certainly not medical advisors, not economic advisors. Yeah, I'll tell you about this one, we ain't marriage counselors either. Stay away, yeah. Don't go to another alcoholic for advice on any relationships or sex problems. Stay away. Okay, I know one thing. Oh, that would be primary, or that would be single or soul, and talking about the traditions. I know one thing and one thing only, how to recover from alcoholism through this book, through this program, as it is with the directions in the book. Okay, the 12-step program brings about a spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We have unique ability and knowledge to avert death and misery. Oh, I think we're going to find that, page 124. Now that's power. How many people go to the people you work with tomorrow and say, do you have the unique ability to avert death and misery for people? They'll throw your ass right out. So anyhow, it says for many thousands of people, but guess what? God's given that to us, okay? Not too many people have that opportunity. So I'll say we're the luckiest people in the world, but I really say we are the most graced people in the world. So, I'll speak for myself. I consider myself to be the luckiest man in the world for a lot of reasons, and we ain't got time to go on with that, but that's how I think about my sobriety and my recovery, and it's just never-ending. And I suppose it's reflective, and I better keep it green and growing. I better keep it fresh, because if not, I'll be in trouble. So now, what is the third part of this step? And we are going to talk about that in weeks to come. To practice these principles in all of our affairs. Somebody said, I thought when you got sober, you weren't supposed to have affairs. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about life. Okay, yeah. Okay, So what are these principles? Well, it's pretty simple. I'll explain it to you as it is in this book. In the famous How It Works, it says, quote, "Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down." What did he get then setting down? The 12 steps. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Our guides to progress. Okay, obviously, those are the principle of the 12 steps. And that's what he talks about in this book. When he talks about the principles in the steps, he's talking about the steps. When he talks about the principles in the traditions part, he's talking about the traditions. And I'm not saying anything other than what's in there and what's in this book. So, most importantly, once again, our mission statement. Remember, AA's 12 steps, a group of principles. See, I just got done. So that's what we've been saying from January till now. Obviously, AA's 12 steps, a group of principles, spiritual in nature, which if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession, drinking, and able to suffer to be happily and usefully whole. So obviously you can see when he writes about the principles, it depends on what book and what portion of it you're reading. The 12 steps are the principles, the tenets, the guidelines. He calls them a lot of different things, proposals, rules, etc. Once again, using different words to mean the same thing, like you did that word change in the spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, obviously when he talks about the steps. Now, here's the principle of the steps of AA. It's easy to practice these principles in AA. I love you and you love me, at least to my face and not when your back's turned. Okay, yeah, so anyhow. But we're only in here maybe an hour, maybe two a day. What about the other 21, 22, 23 hours in the day? Here's the gauge of how sober you really are. Yeah. Ask your spouse how you're doing. You better have some thick skin. Okay, say, yes. So anyhow, here's the deal. Can I practice these principles at home with my wife? Give you an example, and here's where it meets the road. Step one says we're powerless over alcohol, but really, step one, can I realize how powerless I am over her? Can I realize the insanity when I try to control her when I can't? Here's a real tough one. Can I make a decision to turn her will and her life over the care and direction of God? Uh-oh. Can I inventory me to find out those defects in me that make me want to control her? Can I talk about that with God and to another human being with that? Can I be willing to have those defects of character removed in steps 6 and 7? Can I make a list and make direct amends? You can see that's what we're talking about, the principles in all of our affairs. Because it's fine and Jim Dandy in here and alcohol and so on and so forth, but like I said, it's all for naught, okay, if I don't. Obviously, now, just think, if I can practice these principles with her, I could be happy 10, 12, 14 hours a day. If not, and I'm painfully going to testify this, I don't stand a chance. I'll be fighting with her because I'm fighting with me, because I'm fighting with God, and I'm fighting with everybody and everything, okay? Obviously.